Going to be reading from Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from their dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." I want everybody to understand, first of all, that this is not about money. It's not about the rich versus the poor. This is about compassion. There was a comedian that used to say, "I'm poor." But then they told him he wasn't poor, he was needy. Then they told him he wasn't needy, he was deprived. Oh, not deprived, rather underprivileged. Then they told him that underprivileged was overused. He says, "I was disadvantaged." He said, "I still don't have a dime, but I have a great vocabulary." This parable from Jesus about the rich man and Lazarus is something, like I mentioned, that's not necessarily about money. It's about how we see others. And it's about how we care for one another. I know people normally don't like to hear the parables about the rich man and the Lazarus, or the young man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do?" And when Jesus said, "You have to sell everything and give it to the poor," and he turned away, rejected. It wasn't about the money. It was about what Jesus saw in his heart. We rationalize sometimes our not caring for others by saying we're saved by grace, not by works. And that really does not fit into this. Dr. James Dobson tells about a friend of his who was an obstetrician, gynecologist. He said one day this friend telephoned another who was also an obstetrician and asked him for a favor. He says, "My wife has been having some abdominal pains and she is in particular discomfort this afternoon. I don't want to treat my own wife. Wonder if you'd mind seeing her." His friend said, "Sure, bring her over and we'll take a look." And after they did the examination, he discovered his wife was 5 months pregnant. The obstetrician's husband was so busy caring for other patients that he hadn't even noticed his wife's growing pregnancy. So see, this is about not seeing what's going on. The rich man didn't see Lazarus because he didn't want to. Sometimes we get so busy in life, we don't see what's going on around us because we don't want to. One man said to his wife, he said she doesn't complain often, but they had a little heart-to-heart talk one day. She said, "Hun, you never listen to me. Every time I try to talk to you, you get this faraway look in your eyes after only a few seconds. Please promise me you'll try to work on this." The husband says the last thing he remembers is, "I'm sorry, what were we talking about?" Think about it. Of course, I'm sure a lot of wives think we men have selective hearing, and I think we probably do, but that's neither here nor there. Bible teacher William Barclay titles the passage, "The Punishment of the Man Who Never Noticed." So as we look around us, how much do you notice in society? I can remember back when I was working at the police department and I was doing reserve officer training, and Wade can probably tell you the same thing. You get into some pretty rough parts of town. Not necessarily so rough is the fact that these people don't have a lot. And it kind of affects you in a way. You start noticing people around you. You notice how society has failed some people, how people live in terrible conditions. And it makes you want to help them. It makes you feel for these people. I used to like driving into the housing projects, and the kids would come up to the car because they're amazed by police cars. Got blue lights and makes noises and stuff. And you talk to these kids, and they really didn't deserve where they were at. That's the kind of people we need to notice. That's the kind of people that we should be taking care of. Rick Warren says that there's a little structure in the stem of our brain called the reticular activating system. Now, I don't know if this is a real thing or not, but Rick Warren talks about it. He said, it's our brain's filter. It allows us to filter through all the sensory stimulus that we receive and focus on what's important to us. He says the reticular activating system allows us to filter out things like the hum of the air conditioner, the itchy sweater we're wearing, or the flickering of a light overhead so that we can focus on what we are trying to focus on. He says there are three types of information that are so important that they will automatically bypass that built-in filter. Things that get through are things that are unique, things that we value, and things that we find threatening. For instance, say you're in a business meeting and you're intently listening to your boss give his spiel, and a coffee pot blows up behind you. You notice that coffee pot because it's unique and it's threatening. Or you're sitting at home or lying in the bed and you hear that baby three rooms over. I can remember when our girls were little and growing up, I could be sound asleep and I'd hear their feet hit the floor. You mothers and dads, you understand how that is. You notice those things because those are important to you. Jesus, in another parable, talks about separating the sheep and the goats. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. You might call this passage the punishment of the people who never noticed. Lord, when did we see you? And that's the problem. Jesus was there inside every one of those persons that had a need. Amen. We have to notice what's going on in society around us. We are a very blessed nation. We live better than most people around the world. And we have to realize that. Did you know that in European countries, there's only about 5 to 7% of children who live in the poor? But in the United States, there are 20% of the children that live in poor. That ain't right. We should be doing better than that. And one of the reasons why I'm talking about this morning is it is a fifth Sunday. And on the fifth Sunday, you know that we as Methodists, we ask for a special collection for the children's home, the Kentucky Children's Home. And they do a great service. And those are the kinds of people we should be looking out for. According to a report released by the World Bank, nearly 2.8 billion people still live on the equivalent of $2 a day. Of these, some 1.1 billion survive in extreme and absolute poverty on less than a dollar. We need to care. It's about the haves and the have-nots. In Brazil, it's sad to say that they got so concerned in their society about the poor people and the haves didn't want to see it. So instead of taking care of them, they actually put the poor people in a certain area and walled it off so they wouldn't have to see it. And the very wealthy in Sao Paulo, Brazil, have helicopters so that they can fly over this and not have to see it. There are 240 helicopter pads in Sao Paulo, Brazil, where there's 10 in New York City. That's how bad it is that the haves don't want to see what's going on in the world. We have to start noticing what's going on around us. Notice in the parable that says Lazarus was laid at the gate. He didn't walk there. He didn't drive there. He was an invalid who was laid there. He was totally helpless. Apparently had no family to care for him. All he could do was beg, but the rich man couldn't be bothered. He refused to even acknowledge his existence. He was a man who refused to notice. But there is one who did notice. God noticed. Luke tells us that the time came when Lazarus died, and what happened? The angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's side. That's a beautiful image. The time was for Lazarus to be taken care of. God knew Lazarus. God cared about Lazarus. You could even call the parable the man who made a name for himself and the man who did not. Did you know that that's the only parable that Jesus tells us that he actually names somebody? The other parables he talks about in general terms. He names Lazarus. He knew Lazarus. He knew about Lazarus, and he knew what needed to be done. He was named, yet the rich man in the parable is nameless. Some people call him Divus, which means rich man. Lazarus, on the other hand, means the helpless or needs help. Jesus identified Lazarus. And by naming Lazarus and not the rich man, Jesus' story completely contrasts the worldly understanding of who's who. As was his style, Jesus reminds us that the heaven is the opposite of the world in many respects, especially when it comes to rating an individual's worth in society. There was a group of elementary school kids who were asked about the prominent people that they know. Of course, they could name off people like Bill Gates and Trump and Oprah and those people. But then they were asked, in your community, can you name the people that are living in poverty? They couldn't come up with a single name. And that's the situation our society is in. God noticed the actions of the rich man. God noticed the plight of Lazarus. And when the rich man in Hades, in hell, looked up and saw Lazarus, he wanted him to come and help him. But he wasn't willing to help Lazarus when he was alive. And the fact that the rich man was in hell was probably not because he had sinned or had a bunch of sins or did anything particularly against God. He was in hell because he didn't notice, because he didn't take care of someone he could have taken care of. It was the sin of not noticing. We have to change the way we look at things. You look at the news today and you look at places like San Francisco and other places where the homeless have gotten so prevalent that they are causing problems in these cities. They're camped out along the street, causing problems. But are we really doing anything about it? It doesn't seem like we are. You see it in the news all the time. But are we going in there and gathering them people up and saying, here, let me help you. Let me give you a job. Let me give you some clothes so you can go work at that job. Or let me take you to that job. Are we helping these homeless? And the sad thing is, a good majority of those homeless people are veterans who have served our country, and now they're living in squalor. And it's just not right. Something is wrong with that picture. And a lot of it has to do with how we came up in life, how people treated us compassionately or not. And there's a story of a young man who wound up in the hospital, scared, and a particular nurse kind of took him under her wing, told him, I will be here for you no matter what. I'm going to make sure you get well. And she did. She kept her promise. She stayed there with him and got him well. She showed great compassion. Later in life, the young man became a paramedic so that he could help others because he had experienced compassion in his early life. He drove up onto a scene of an overturned car. The man was trapped inside. Gasoline was dripping down close to him. And he went over to the man and stayed with him and told the man, don't worry, I'm right here with you and I'm not going anywhere. Days after the rescue, they met each other again. And the man was pinned in the car. He says, you know, you were crazy to stay with me. We both could have died. The young paramedic said, I just couldn't leave you. He had compassion for the man. So here's the point of today's message. There was a time spiritually when each of us was a beggar lying at the gate, totally helpless, and Christ noticed us. Christ loved us just the way we are. And as we remember that truth, that compassion, that grace, Christ calls us to look around and see someone who needs our attention or our compassion or our love. And what the research shows is that this person might just remember our generous attention when he or she is in the position to help someone else. And so that original act of kindness and love is extended perhaps forever. We pay it forward. But you can't be a part of this chain of love if you never take time to look beyond your own cares and concerns. So don't be like the rich man who will forever be remembered as the person who refused to notice. Look around you. Find those who need your compassion, your love, people that you can take care of. People on the street corner or somebody who just needs a little compassion. Because that's what this story is about. It's not about the rich versus the poor. It's about having compassion. It's about noticing those who are not as well off as we are. And we are very well off. And it's a part of our Christian love to want to take care of these people. So think about that. That's what that story is about. Amen.